Heaven Incarnate, you're up.
Getting Brittany back into the right arms by Dastiel Forever. I felt like I needed to write this. Santana is my hero right now. I don't know how she didn't completely lose it during the song she sang with Brittany and Holly. This takes place after Santana confesses her love for Brittany. Hope you enjoy. Read and review. Warning. Contains slash and spoilers for episode 215. Kurofsky may seem out of character, but this is how I interpret him when he's not hiding his real self. And I really, really do not like Sam with Santana. I think that her bitchiness could turn him into a not very likable character. So, he's not a very nice guy in this chapter. Just read and you'll know what I'm talking about. Contains cuss words and some violence.
Summary.
Santana couldn't imagine a life without being with Brittany, when an unlikely person, Kurofsky, offers to help her get Brittany back, and Kurofsky gets help with his love life. Future Brittana and Pekovsky, slash, don't like, don't read.
Disclaimer.
I do not own any of the characters. All I own is my idea. The credit goes to the brilliant Ryan Murphy.
Kurofsky was walking in the halls during class, trying to get away from math, when he heard sobbing coming from the choir room. Kurofsky knocked on the door. He walked in and saw Santana sitting at the piano bench, eyes red and puffy.
What the hell do you want, Kurofsky?
Santana asked, sniffing. Kurofsky put his hands in his pockets. He walked over to Santana and sat next to her. Are you okay? Kurofsky asks.
What does it look like?
Santana asks. Kurofsky frowned.
What's wrong?
Kurofsky asks.
It doesn't matter,
Santana says.
Of course it does. You can tell me, you know,
Kurofsky tells her.
You're the one who made Kurt leave,
Santana reminds him. Kurofsky sighed.
Yeah, well,
Kurofsky couldn't finish. He slumped his head.
I'm sorry. It's just, love fucking sucks,
Santana says.
Yeah, I know what you mean,
Kurofsky says. He looked her in the eyes.
Can I tell you something? You have to promise you won't say anything.
Yeah, I won't tell anyone,
Santana says.
I think I may be gay,
Kurofsky says.
Or maybe bi.
Santana was shocked. A guy like Kurofsky? Gay? Santana nodded to him.
I just came out to Brittany,
Santana says.
God, I love her so much. And now, because of Artie, we can't be together.
Santana started to cry again. Kurofsky didn't know what to do. He started to play Blink-182's classic, All the Small Things. This song always gets me through the rough days, Kurofsky says. Meanwhile, Will was walking down the hall. He had a free period, so he was heading to the choir room to get ready for glee rehearsals. He stopped at the door when he saw Dave Kurofsky and Santana sitting at the piano. Kurofsky started singing. All the small things, true care, truth brings. I'll take one lift, your ride, best trip. Always, I know, you'll be at my show, watching, waiting, commiserating. Say it ain't so, I will not go. Turn the lights off, carry me home. Nah, nah. Late night, come home. Work sucks, I know. She left me roses by the stairs. Surprises let me know she cares. Say it ain't so, I will not go. Turn the lights off, carry me home. Nah, nah. Say it ain't so, I will not go. Turn the lights off, carry me home. Keep your head still, I'll be your thrill. The night will go on, my little red mill. Say it ain't so, I will not go. Turn the lights off, carry me home. Keep your head still, I'll be your thrill. The night will go on, the night will go on, my little red mill. Will walked in and clapped.
Wow, that was really good,
Will says.
Why don't you join Glee Club?
Santana smiled at Kurofsky. Kurofsky shrugged.
Okay, I guess,
Kurofsky says.
Will smiled.
I'll see you guys in an hour then,
Will tells them.
An hour?
Kurofsky asks. But Will was already out the door.
What am I gonna sing? What if they hate my singing?
Santana chuckled.
Trust me. I was freaked out when I had to sing in front of the guys at first, too. Come on. We'll go to the auditorium and practice,
Santana told him. They made their way to the auditorium. Thanks, Santana, Kurofsky says.
No problem. Have you told your parents yet?
Santana asks. My mom. She knows. My dad. He would probably beat the crap out of me if he ever found out, Kurovsky says. Santana nodded.
Aren't you skipping class?
Kurovsky laughed. Math. I say we get Brenita to realize that she loves you more than Artie, Kurovsky says.
And you with Kurt,
Santana says. Kurovsky shakes his head no. I don't really like him. I like... Puck, Kurovsky confessed. Santana laughed. Kurovsky frowned.
I guess we could try with Puck. Who else do you like?
Santana asks. I like... Sam... Blaine... Kurt's new friend. Kurovsky stopped, embarrassed.
I... kinda like Mr. Shu, too.
Santana nodded. She opened the door to the auditorium and walked in. Kurovsky followed after.
I think you'll sound good with a slow rock song. Like Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls,
Santana tells him.
I love that song! It sums up what I've been going through,
Kurovsky says.
Do you know it well enough to sing it?
Santana asks. Kurovsky nodded, obviously nervous.
Look, the trick is to sing to someone. Anyone. Even Puck. Just don't make it obvious. Just pretend you're alone in your bedroom. Don't look at anyone. You'll do fine,
Santana tells him. Kurovsky nodded. Glee rehearsals. The Glee kids walked into the auditorium laughing, goofing off with each other. Will walked in.
We have a new member. Give a warm welcome to Dave Kurovsky,
Mr. Shu says.
What? You're allowing him to join? He's the one that made Kurt leave in the first place.
Mercedes yelled.
Yeah.
Rachel agreed.
Guys, we need new people. Give him a chance. I think you'll be surprised,
Mr. Shu says. Kurovsky came from backstage. He gave a little wave to Santana. She smiled and nodded to him. He took a deep breath and nodded to Brad the piano player. And I'd give up forever to touch you, because I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't want to go home right now. And all I can taste is this moment, and all I can breathe is your life. Because sooner or later, it's over. I just don't want to miss you tonight. And I don't want the world to see me, because I don't think that they'd understand. When everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know who I am. And you can't fight the tears that ain't coming, or the moment of truth in your lies. When everything seems like the movies, yeah, you bleed just to know you're alive. And I don't want the world to see me, because I don't think they'd understand. When everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know who I am. I don't want the world to see me, because I don't think that they'd understand. When everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know who I am. I just want you to know who I am. I just want you to know who I am. I just want you to know who I am. I just want you to know who I am. Santana stood up and clapped. Then, one right after the other, the Glee Clubbers did too. Kurovsky smiled. The Glee Club practiced for another hour before they had to go home. Santana had decided that she had to break it off with Sam before the plot to get Brittany back was in full swing. Kurovsky came up to Santana and slipped her a piece of paper right in front of Sam. Sam approached Santana.
What was that all about?
Sam asks.
Oh, nothing,
Santana says. Sam grabbed the piece of paper from Santana. He opened it and read what it said.
Thanks for helping me out, Santana. I really appreciate it. Here's my phone number. Let's get together sometime and hang out again? Thanks again, Kurovsky.
Oh, that's nice. When the hell did you hang out?
Sam asks jealously.
Just this afternoon. It's not a big deal.
Not a big deal? I'm your boyfriend!
Sam yelled.
Yeah? Well, not anymore!
Santana yells into Sam's face.
You're breaking up with me?
Sam asks.
Yeah!
Santana yelled at him. She was on the verge of tears again. She wanted to walk away when Sam grabbed her by the arm.
Get off of me!
You can't break up with me, Sam tells her.
Well, guess what? I just did!
Santana says.
You bitch!
Sam yelled. He slapped Santana hard on the face. Mr. Shu and Beast were walking past the auditorium when they heard an angry screech coming from the auditorium. Santana was on the stage on top of Sam. Sam was on his stomach with his hands behind his back. Beast came and pulled Santana off of him.
Asshole! Hit me again! Do it!
Santana yells, trying to tackle him.
Sam, did you hit her?
Mr. Shu says. Sam nodded shamefully.
Santana, has he done this before?
No, Santana says. She sighed and grabbed her book bag.
Sorry, Mr. Shu, I have to get home. I'll see you Monday?
Mr. Shu nodded. Santana bent over and grabbed the note Karofsky had written. She walked out of the building, sobbing again for the third time that day. She drove home and got inside the house.
Where have you been, Santana Lopez?
Her mother asks.
What happened?
Her mother came over to Santana and saw her bruised face.
Soy fino la mama. I'm fine, Mom,
Santana told her mother.
Here, put this on. Dinner will be ready in a little while.
Santana's mother hands Santana a bag of ice. Santana went upstairs to her room. She put her book back down. She pulled out her phone and texted Karofsky. Meanwhile, with Karofsky,
You did what?
Karofsky's dad screams at him.
You're supposed to be focused on football, and now you join Glee Club? Don't you know that's for gay boys who don't have a life?
I don't care. I love to sing and dance. I'm staying in it, Karofsky says.
Everybody's gonna think my son is gay,
his dad says. Karofsky was getting mad.
I cannot, I will not let you throw away your reputation. You are quitting Glee Club, and you are going to focus on what's important. Football?
Karofsky yells.
Football isn't important to me. I could care less about fucking football. I'm not you, Dad.
So you'd rather be a fag?
Karofsky's dad asks. Karofsky was at his last end. He exploded.
I am a fag!
Karofsky screamed as he punched the wall.
What was that?
Karofsky's dad asks, shocked. Dave is screwed now.
You heard me.
I'm gay, Karofsky says. Karofsky's dad pushed his son into the wall.
Get the fuck out of my house!
Karofsky's dad screamed at his son. Karofsky ran upstairs to pack his things. After 10 minutes, he was out the door. Karofsky pulled out his phone. It said new text message.
Hey, it's Santana. Didn't know if you knew my number. What's up?
He called his mom, who lived 6 blocks away.
Hey, Mom. Dad just kicked me out,
Karofsky says, trying to keep his composure.
Well, get your ass over here.
Karofsky's mom says. Karofsky jumped into his truck and drove to his mother's house. He got inside and broke down completely.
Dave, it'll be okay. I'm here.
He calmed down after 5 minutes in his mother's arms. He looked up at her and smiled.
You're welcome, baby. And it's okay. Every son wants to live with his father.
Karofsky laughed. He got his stuff and went to his room. He pulled out his phone.
Author's note.
Bold and italics are Karofsky's texts, and just italics are Santana's.
My dad just found out about me.
Man, that totally sucks. What happened?
I got kicked out. I'm at my mom's now. I'm pretty sure she's giving my dad crap right now. LOL.
OMG, you got kicked out? Man, that really sucks. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm cool. Just glad my mom's here. So what's up with you?
And just put an ice on my cheek.
What? Why? What happened?
Sam slapped me. But it's okay, because I totally beat the shit out of him.
That asshole! I'll kill him for you!
That's cool. I just hope it'll be gone by Monday. I can't deal with a bruised face.
LOL. Why?
Because everybody's gonna ask me what happened, and I'll have to lie.
I see. I forgot to ask. Does your mom know that you're bi?
Yeah, she does. We tell each other everything. I mean, she's all I have. My dad left when I was 5.
Oh, sorry. My parents divorced when I was 10. On my birthday, too.
Man, we're just full of sob stories, aren't we?
LMAO. Yeah, we are. Well, I have to go eat dinner. I'll text you after I'm done.
Okay, later.
After dinner.
Hey, Santana.
Hey, Karofsky.
We're gonna have to come up with nicknames for each other.
LOL.
Yeah, I agree. How about SL?
LOL, that's cool, but how about something more unique? For you, I'm thinking Superman.
Question mark?
LOL, Superman, duh.
Oh, I get it now. How about T-A-N?
Tan? Seriously? WTF?
R-O-T-F-L. No, not tan. It stands for tough as nails, meaning you can take anything and are still tough. I mean, you got slapped by a guy and you beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, that's true. I like it. So I'll just say super. I mean, you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, totally. LOL. I'm on Sam's Facebook. He's whining about you breaking up with him. Wait, he says that you left him for me?
Shit. Hold on, let me get on. OMG, that little prick! Oh, God, I'm gonna kill him on Monday.
And first he slaps me, and now he's spreading rumors about me?
Just tells you he's not a man. He can't take rejection.
I mean, what does he expect? I'm his rebound, and he's mine. It's not like it was gonna work out. Damn, you're mean. Maybe I should nickname you RB. Ruthless bitch. JK, JK. Smiley face.
Wow, Santana.
What?
Just read your reply, LOL.
Reply?
Yeah, well, he's more of a man than you'll ever be. And, for the record, I did not leave you for him. And, BTW, real men don't slap girls. You might as well have a vagina. LOL. Did you like it?
Loved it.
LOL. Awesome. So, are you gonna come out at school too? Or are you just gonna stay in the closet?
I will if you will.
LOL. Deal.
You first, smiley face.
LOL. Okay, I'll go first. Oh, and, just for the record, I'd say that you're bi, because you don't know exactly who you are yet.
I don't like girls. I'm pretty sure I'm gay.
Yeah, but you'll get less ridicule that way.
I'm not gonna hide anymore. And, yeah, I might lose all my friends, but I still have you guys. Or you, really.
Let them get to know you first. They'll start to love you.
Even Puck?
Even Puck. But I'm pretty sure before you can get into their good graces, you'll have to apologize to Kurt.
I figured. IDK how, though? IDK why I behaved the way I did.
You were scared. You wanted someone to know, and Kurt was the only guy that you know that's gay.
LOL, okay, Miss Know-It-All. Smiley face. Love you. Will you come with me when I do?
We'll all go with you, probably. So you'll have lots of moral support. And maybe you'll even leave that stupid school he's in now and come back to McKinley.
Yeah. Well, I should get to bed. For some reason, I'm really tired.
You went through a lot today. LOL.
Night. Oh, and the getting Brittany back into your arms officially starts Monday. We'll talk more about it tomorrow and Sunday. PTYL. Love ya.
LY2. Night.
That was Heaven Incarnate. That fanfic went on to incorporate World Wrestling Federation, or World Wrestling Entertainment. But I cut it there. Heaven Incarnate, I really believed you when you were reading the author's notes that you wrote that. You made me believe. The music in the background when you did the lyrics was a bad idea, as were the random noises, because it was super distracting. The Latina accent was a little bit much for Santana's mom.
That was funny.
I know you're happy you got to say the word vagina, so you're welcome. Overall, I thought you did a fairly good job with it. I think that it went a little bit overboard, but I think that overall it was fairly... It worked out overall. What do you think?
Well, I had the same nitpicks as you. The mom... I sat down and was like, my mom sounds just like that. She doesn't at all. But then, yeah, for the music, at first I thought it was good, but then, like, after it continued on, like, I thought that you'd only be saying lyrics for the first bit, but instead of...
The music, it wasn't so much the music, it was that when you were reading the Blink-182 lyrics, it was like you were trying to read them with the music, and it got really chaotic.
And then like, halfway through, it was definitely without the music.
Yeah.
So then I was like, well, then you may as well just stop.
Didn't pan out that part.
Yeah. The second song, it sounded like the way, what was the, I just want you to know who I am.
Uh-huh.
You said it like seven times.
Well, they were instructed to read it exactly how it was written. So that's how it's written. You did like I think Scarlett was about to say, you did make the I want you to know who I am sound different every time you read them.
That is exactly what I was about to say. And you did make them sound different. Which was good. However, I felt as though it was a little bit unnatural, some of the differences that you made.
This was a really horribly written fanfic, because every time one of them had a dialogue, it was like, he said, then she said.
Yeah.
So this was one of the more difficult ones, I think. I don't think you hit it out of the park, but I don't think you struck out either.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you struck out either.
We've got one more to listen to.
Okie dokie.
And Pot may or may not. I need to get that sorted out. From now on, though, I'm going to confirm with you guys if I've got your email. So, because my email's acting crazy. So I apologize if the Pot did already submit and I didn't. I just don't have it. Okay. This is My Little Pony Left 4 Dead crossover.
Ooh.
Apparently, they gave Fata Phantom fillings right before she read this. So
that'll be interesting.
It's going to be numb mouth faded. I'm ready when you are.
I'm ready.
Left for Friendship by Sion. Rainbow Dash as Francis. Twilight Sparkle as Bill. Fluttershy as Zoe. Pinkie Pie as Lewis. Prologue. 2 weeks after first infection. The streets were strewn with pure filth and the air hung heavy with the stench of death. Every so often, one of them would have to kick away a disembodied limb to clear a path to walk. Ponyville had never been a sorrier sight to see, the four of them agreed wordlessly, as they walked in a solemn silence down the street that was once filled with happy, bustling ponies. If they walked silently, the sickly, rotting green ponies stumbling through the town wouldn't pay attention to them. They would just stagger back and forth, groaning and vomiting all over the town as their brains slowly decomposed inside their skulls. It was still a morbid sight for the four surviving mares, but at least they weren't being attacked.
Sugar Cube Corner is just ahead. There should be some extra supplies in there.
One of the survivors spoke, her voice so happy it was sickening. Did it not dawn on her that they were in the middle of a crisis? That this was no time to be anywhere near happy or sprightly right now? It quite irked the other three, but they bared with it. Having four was better than having three when it came right down to it.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The bouncy pink pony urged the others on, skipping towards their destination in lieu of the aggravated zombie ponies now giving her hungry looks.
Pinkie Pie?
Another one of them hissed in a hushed tone, rainbow mane tucked behind her ears for better seeing.
Shut up!
Pinkie Pie stopped and turned her head at the young rainbow pony, blinking her innocent blue eyes and smiling.
Why, Rainbow Dash? We're almost there!
It doesn't matter. They can still hear you and you're pissing them off.
If you hurry up, I'll shut up!
Rainbow Dash dug her hooves into the ground at the sing-song tone Pinkie used when speaking. It aggravated her to no end. She was about to snap back at Pinkie Pie when a purple hoof came to rest on her already burdened shoulder.
Just ignore it. But Twilight!
No buts, just calm down. She's right, we're almost there. Twilight Sparkle took her hoof away and trotted along the sidewalk to catch up to Pinkie. Rainbow sighed.
Fine. Come on, Fluttershy,
she grumbled to the lagging member of their party, who was looking left and right frantically, as if there was a zombie about to pounce on her at any moment, which, most of the time, there wasn't.
Okay.
Fluttershy tried her best to keep up with the rest of them, but her intense urge to run back home and hide was overwhelming.
Fillies and gentle colts, welcome to Sugar Cube Corner!
Pinkie declared happily as they approached the bright pink door, which in this mood and time of night looked a dark, unhappy red. Pinkie went to open the door when Twilight stopped her. Hold on. Do you hear that?
Nope!
Shh! A hoof in the mouth was the only way to get Pinkie Pie to quiet down long enough for them to all hear what Twilight was hearing. Crying.
Someone's still alive?
Fluttershy whispered softly after the shock of the sound wore off. Twilight nodded and took her hoof out of Pinkie Pie's mouth to turn and look at the other three ponies.
Rainbow Dash and Pinkie Pie, stay outside to keep a lookout. Me and Fluttershy will go and see if we can't help the pony inside the bakery.
Why do I have to... Okay.
Fluttershy sighed and clicked on the small flashlight that hung around her neck, and Twilight did the same. The darkness around them was immediately banished to the outer rim of the light source, and just couldn't wait to claw its way around the survivors once again. Dash and Pinkie readied their weapons and stood on the steps leading up to Sugar Cube Corner, Dash's wings going into motion and holding her a few feet above the dirtied ground. This gave her leave to grip her weapon with both hands. It was a simple assault rifle that she normally kept strapped on her back. Twilight had conjured weapons for each of them using her magic horn doodad that Dash sure as hell was happy she had. Cause where else were they gonna get weapons in Ponyville, besides down at that local farm? Hopefully all those apples weren't infected, Rainbow Dash thought to herself, pouting as she tried to suppress her stomach rumbles. Pinkie Pie bounced happily on the ground next to her, a fire axe strapped across her back as her only protection. Dash didn't know why she didn't use a gun. Even Fluttershy had the sense to take up two pistols halfway through their trek through Ponyville.
Do we have to do this, Twilight?
Fluttershy muttered from her place next to the braver unicorn, whose horn glowed with the magic of self-defense. Guns were a tad too garish for her tastes or her abilities. Fluttershy's previous acquired pistols hung in makeshift holsters on her saddlebags. Of course we do. We'll have a better chance of surviving if there's five of us. Now come on. Without any chance for Fluttershy to protest, Twilight opened the door to the bakery and poked her head inside, flashlight glowing and magic illuminating a good part of the bakery floor, whose tiles were cracked and strewn with blood and bile and dirt. The crying got louder. Hello? Is anybody in here? Twilight called out as Fluttershy scanned the area with her flashlight, coming across a hunched form in the corner of the large room, near a cracked and empty display case. Her eyes lit up as she took a step closer.
Hello? Don't worry. We're not going to hurt you. You don't have to cry.
As soon as the flashlight beam came upon the sobbing mare's face, the sobs turned into ferocious growls, and Fluttershy shrank back without the help of Twilight's hand attempting to divert the light source.
Shh! It's not safe!
She hissed to Fluttershy, who was still reeling from what she saw. A mare whose coat would have been white as snow were it not peppered with dirt and blood. Her purple mane and tail were wavy, limp and useless, lying in disorganized strands hiding her face and flowing across the floor like water. Her front hooves were hideously misshapen and elongated, covered in a fresh coat of blood. The spot on her flank where her cutie mark should have been was replaced by a large gash that rent the tattoo flesh from her body. Twilight could guess where the congealed blood on the back to sobbing mare's hooves came from now, and hissed for Fluttershy to turn off her flashlight before doing so herself and letting the glow from her horn die out. Pinkie Pie whistled to herself as she surveyed the surrounding expanse of city. It was all clear-io, so why did they have to stand out here and be bored when they could be in there and help that poor crying pony?
Hey, Rainbow Dash, do you think cartoons are—
Shh! Pinkie, look over there.
Pinkie looked and cocked her head.
I can't see anything.
So turn on your flashlight, idiot,
Dash said, whose flashlight was strapped to the bottom front side of her assault rifle.
Oh yeah!
She clicked on the light and looked the way Dash was pointing. The silhouettes were faint, but Pinkie could definitely see 1, 2, 7, 18, about 60 pony shadows charging this way, jumping and destroying whatever they had to get to the source of light and sound that was agitating them.
Oh,
Pinkie said under her breath, to which Dash replied with a quiet,
yeah.
With a quiet squeak of fear, Pinkie turned and jumped to the entrance of Sugar Cube Corner, shining her flashlight into the building to do a quick scan for her two friends. She found them, now turned towards her with looks of pure horror on their faces.
What? Run!
Twilight's command was almost drowned out by a shriek of sheer malice erupting from the infected mare in the building. Her large, sunken in and shining eyes turned towards Pinkie Pie, misshapen clawed hooves bared in a position to attack the one who disturbed her sobs of misery. Twilight grabbed the still fear-stricken Fluttershy by her tail and dragged her out of the bakery as the thing began to run towards them. Pinkie Pie quickly slammed the door and held it with her shoulder, managing to grab her axe and hack away at the claw hoof that burst through the door in a burst of pink splinters.
Guys, they're coming!
Rainbow Dash yelled over the frantic screams of the mare trying to murder Pinkie Pie through the door and the heavy breathing of Fluttershy.
Oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness!
Save it and get ready! Twilight yelled, but Rainbow Dash was two steps ahead of her. Her gun rattled off bullets and downed the infected ponies left and right, clipping through the wings of the ones that still knew how to fly and piercing the skulls of those that charged willfully onward with pure hatred in their sunken, illuminated eyes. Twilight joined the fight, flinging what, for lack of better terms, were bullets of pure magic that downed the infected ponies almost as fast as Dash. She forced the ones that got too close back with a strong push of magical energy, and she knew they were going to make it out of this encounter alive. Until she felt something long wrap around her body and disrupt her concentration, the sparks flying from her horn dying as she was lifted from the ground and into the haze of smoke.
Help!
She yelled to her teammates as she was pulled closer to the roof of Sugar Cube Corner. Dash turned and frowned, firing a couple of bursts into the coughing, long-tongued pony that currently held their unicorn comrade hostage.
I gotcha!
She yelled, catching Twilight as the tongued pony died and plopped her on the ground. Thanks! Twilight yelled in gratitude before going back to dismembering the ponies blindly clawing at her with magic. Dash went on shooting, grinning and scoffing at the earth ponies who tried to reach her from her perch in the sky.
It's winter wrap-up day, fellas!
She yelled before taking a young stallion's head clean off with the rifle.
Everybody, please watch out!
Fluttershy meekly yelled from her point in the sky, pocketing one of her pistols and pulling out a piece of metal from her saddlebags. She fumbled with it in her hooves for a moment before Twilight took it from her and activated it with magic, flinging it towards the ever-growing mass of ponies. They all frantically swarmed for the beeping, blinking piece of enchanted metal, pawing at it and trying to make it stop. Twilight counted to three and clapped her hooves over her ears, the subsequent explosion from the pipe bomb still deafening even to her covered ears. After that, there were only a few straggling, wounded zombies left, and it was quiet, except for their breathing and the infected's moans of pain. And then, a loud horn sounded, and a light surrounded the survivors for a moment before sweeping away from them. Pinkie Pie looked up at the sky excitedly and rested her bloodied axe on the ground, spotting the source of the noise. A Pegasus-pulled chariot swooped over the sky in search of what she hoped were survivors.
Hey!
She screamed at it, hopping after its rapidly disappearing shadow and flailing her arms.
We're not infected! Stop! Hey!
she ran out into the open street, still pursuing the vanishing chariot for a good while before she decided it was hopeless in stopping. She sighed.
Dosh Garnet! I could have sworn I got their attention!
She was cut off by a loud, animalistic scream and a sudden pressure on her back. Then, blinding pain as she was flipped over and relentlessly clawed and bitten at by a pony who looked more like a wild dog than a pony. Sharp protrusions from its hooves, viciously sharp teeth, and fierce red eyes were clear signs of a higher mutation than what had claimed many other inhabitants of Ponyville. Pinky could almost see this pony living in this town before the infection. Her tied-back blonde hair before it was in disarray. Her nice orange coat before it was spotty and covered in blood. Her tail before it had been torn away by something, probably the mare's own misshapen hooves. And her cutie mark before it had been similarly torn away.
Pinkie Pie!
Came a hoarse scream, followed by a multitude of bullet shots that got the creature up and off of Pinkie Pie. Said pony scrambled to her feet as she watched Fluttershy ram shot after shot into the pony, until it eventually collapsed on top of a cart.
Thanks, Flutter.
Bang, Pinky was cut off by a loud banging, whizzing, and screeching from the cart the dead zombie was on top of. Small but frequent explosions of fireworks accompanying the ear-splitting sounds. Stupid cart alarms. Twilight and Rainbow joined the other two. Twilight's eyes wide and worried. Uh-oh! This is gonna get bad! She yelled over the cart alarm, turning her head to a loud, collective screaming noise coming from down the dirt-packed street. From the shadows of left-on shop lights and their own lights, they could see tens upon hundreds of infected ponies streaming towards them in the source of the noise, and everyone's eyes consecutively grew to the size of dinner plates. The four survivors huddled close together, weapons drawn and readied. Fluttershy had thrown Pinky her spare pistol, as the pink pony had long forgotten about her axe. "Stick together!" Rainbow Dash yelled over the impending horde of infected ponies. If they could be called that anymore. Suddenly, a roar unlike anything they had ever heard erupted from the very back lines of the incoming horde. Ponies were being thrown and rammed into left and right, whole carts and pieces of buildings being thrown as well in the rage that consumed this beast. It was a dragon, if even that. Its obscenely muscled arms grabbed and threw anything in its path, as well as carried it towards the four survivors faster than its scrawny legs ever could take it. It screamed and roared at them, and fear overtook all of the ponies for a moment.
Run or shoot?
Pinkie Pie asked quietly, slowly backing up with the other four as they began to regain control of their bodies.
Run or shoot?
She asked again when she received no answer, looking over to Twilight for one.
Both!
Twilight screamed, and they all did just that. Fluttershy and Rainbow Dash took off into the air, firing wildly at their massive target that closed in on them quicker and quicker. They ran and shot, ran and shot, ran and shot, looking around for a way out. Pinkie Pie spotted the large, multi-story pony apartment complex that they certainly wouldn't be needing anymore, and screamed,
"Get to the roof!"
as soon as she saw the fire escape clinging to the back of the building. They all darted to the building, Dash hanging behind in the air and aiming at the corner she knew the monstrosity was going to round in a few moments.
"Come on, come on!"
As soon as the purple and green beast rounded the corner, she unleashed magazine after magazine on that thing. But it just wouldn't die. Fluttershy was almost to the roof, and Pinky was clinging to the beginnings of the ladder. Twilight urged them upwards before turning and witnessing the thing closing in on Rainbow Dash. It was about to slam its horrible fists onto the pony, who had been grounded from sheer fear when Twilight stepped in and forced it back with magic, pouring her own bullets into the thing's body with tears in her eyes.
Spike.
He just wouldn't die. He slammed his fists into a neighboring building and tore a chunk from the brick wall, throwing it with obscene strength at the two ponies who had just about reached the roof. It crashed against the lower level of the fire escape and tore the ladder loose, but that didn't stop Rainbow Dash from flying straight on up, and Twilight from grabbing the ladder regardless. Fluttershy had reclaimed both of her pistols and was firing wildly at the monstrosity and the smaller things trying to claw their way up the building.
"Hurry! I'll hold them off!"
she screamed in a rare moment of bravery, buying time for Dash and Twilight to make it safely to the roof. As she turned to fly up herself, though, the muscular monster leapt and grabbed onto the entire lower level he had broken loose. Fluttershy's wings snapping to her sides in fear, and her whole body careening backwards with the giant zombie. She reached a hoof out, eyes frantic and wide as she screamed for help. Dash caught her with both hooves and pulled her to safety at the last moment, the fire escape she was standing on previously teetering free from the building and crashing down onto the obscenely muscled dragon. Then, everything went quiet, save for their heavy breaths of relief and exhaustion. Pinky was the first to speak, as always, her smile large and bright despite her obvious wounds and fatigue.
"We made it! I can't believe we made it!"
she announced happily, falling onto her back for a bit of relaxation. "Pinky, we just crossed the street," Twilight mumbled in a grim tone, her eyes glancing down at the streets below them. "Let's not throw a party until we're out of the city." Pinky pouted at Twilight but didn't say anything, observing Luna's foggy night sky and catching her breath some more. Out of the city? How?
That was the last one of the night, unless Pod ends up submitting. That was Faded Phantom.
That was.
It was. You want to start on this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. So I could hear your tears when you were talking about the pony.
Let that be a lesson. If you say you like something repeatedly to the point that it's annoying, I'll make you do something bad. Like read about dead ponies.
I found it entertaining. I thought you had a really good narrative. I thought you were good at narration, which was good. Mm-hmm. The sound effects when you were doing like the weird noise at first, I was kind of like, but then I just kind of got used to it.
I hated that because every time she did it, it made it hard to understand what she was saying because she was also doing the sound effects.
Yeah. But other than that, I thought you had good transitions from characters to narrative, and that's also important.
I could not have listened to a 6-hour audiobook with her doing those anime pony voices.
That's just because you can't do that. Yeah. I don't think anyone could listen to anime pony voices in a book.
I did think that the intro was a nice touch where you had the regular theme song, and then it got all twisted and dark. That
made me...
I thought you narrated it well as well. I didn't like the sound effects that you did, and I didn't like so many pony voices, but whatever. Whatever.
That's what you get when you ask for ponies.
I know.
You're going to get ponies.
Are you ready to move on? I don't know why I'm saying you guys.
All right.
The winner of tonight is going to get an advantage next week. Next week, here's how next week works. Last season, we did something called Psycho Killers, where we did a bunch of Psycho Killer monologues. This season... We're doing Psycho Killers in that the scene that you have is that you've kidnapped somebody and have locked them in a room as a hostage and are taunting them and talking to them. But the context you have to do that within is song lyrics. So you're each going to get a song and you have to read that song as if you're a psycho killer that's holding somebody hostage. So that's what's going on next week. We both had a unanimous winner tonight, which was Apotheria.
Mm-hmm. Good work, Apotheria.
So you are safe, Apotheria. And also, not only that, I have a list of all the songs available for next week. You get to pick what song you're doing from the list, and nobody else gets to pick. Everybody else will get some assigned. And you also get to assign one of the songs to another contestant.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a double bonus, so you can screw somebody over. And there's one song on that list that's probably going to be hard to pull off in that context, so we'll see.
So we have an enemy.
Yes. But Apotheria, you are safe. Kudos to you. Who came in second for you tonight?
I think R.Y. guy? Rye guy? I don't know why I continuously call him R.Y. guy.
Really?
Really.
Rye guy, you are safe. Here's the thing. It's like, to be honest, Apotheria won unanimously for both of us, and then everybody else was kind of...
Everyone else is kind of in the middle.
They kind of did something or another that was not... They kind of messed theirs.
I have a good tie for, like,
then there were, like, people. There's two or three that were, like, way below everybody else, we thought, as well. But then there's a big pack in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But Ragai, you were safe. Bogus, Bryson. Bryson, Bogus, you were safe as well.
Okay. Bree, you were safe.
Bree, I'm so sorry again about your fan fiction. I feel really bad. Tregatry. You are safe as well.
Mm-hmm. Faded, you are safe.
And Heaven Incarnate, you are safe. That brings us to the bottom three. Well, actually, Blackjack, you are also safe. That brings us to the bottom two.
Dun, dun, dun.
Here's the deal with you bottom two. If Pot did indeed submit, and I just don't have the email, and he's better than you two, you're both going to get eliminated. So don't be too excited if you're safe. But... It's Russ and Turtle, and we just felt like there were just too many problems with the narration. And even though people like Rag Eye and Blackjack were very over the top with their voices, their narration was still really legit, and you guys just didn't bring it this week, unfortunately for us.
Mm-hmm.
The person getting kicked off acted this week is OMG Awkward Turtle. I'm sorry, OMG Awkward Turtle.
You put up a good fight.
You did, and you had a good run. Mm-hmm. Russ, you're safe for now. If Pod ends up submitting and he's better than yours, then you will also be eliminated, but I don't know what the story with Pod is, so we'll find out. From now on, again, I will confirm with you guys once I've gotten your email. So, So Psycho Killers next week. Thank you guys for listening. Good night, everybody.
Good night.